Nau mai, te puka o te ika, e tu whanau footy show. We're here, it's the 25th of July and it's been 100 years, which took place in Te Whanganui Tata Wellington. And, well, part of the celebration, joining us online is well-known television rugby commentator Grant Nisbet. Kura Nisbet.
G'day, Dave.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Now, look, it's a special day. You obviously have been a radio commentator, but I guess your first television commentary, I think, was 1984. Was there any overrun in terms of radio commentary after that, or fairly much did your radio rugby commentary end when television started?
Yeah, look, it pretty much ended once I started in television, but look, I made my start in radio back in the late 60s and did a lot of reporting and quite a deal of commentating from Athletic Park as it was in those days. But when I went to TVNZ in 1984, that was pretty much the end of rugby radio commentary.
Okay, look, I've done sort of a bit of research. So fairly much late 1970s, I guess, you were fairly much dedicated to the radio. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I was. I started in radio at Broadcasting House in Wellington on the very last day of 1968 and went right through the 70s into the early 80s. So I had a good stretch in radio.
Okay, and you left Rongotai College to play some rugby at Pōneke, and as the story goes, you sort of decided that radio took priority over rugby. Is that fair to say? Tell us about that.
Well, it did in the end. Yeah, I was lucky enough when I went to Pōneke to actually get four seasons in, and I kind of had to mix my day up a wee bit in those days on what used to be 2ZB. They used to run a sports session in the morning on Saturday mornings, and they had what they called a radio car, and you'd jump in the radio car, and there were six sponsored reports, so you'd shoot around the city speaking to various people on various sports, rugby included. Then about midday, I'd take the radio car back to Broadcasting House, jump on my own car and head off to play senior footy. It might even be an early game, which normally I think started at 1:30, so I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. Most of the games, they were at 3 o'clock, so I had a little bit of breathing space there, but and then, when the game was over, I'd often have to go back to Broadcasting House and read the sports results. So it was a pretty full day.
Okay. Look, before we move on to the radio aspect, tell us about your rugby career. Obviously, you played for Pōneke, and what level did you make in terms of any rep players, and did you play with any All Blacks around Rongotai College or Pōneke?
Yeah, my rugby career at Rongotai College was pretty enjoyable. We had a very good team, particularly in my last season. I was lucky enough to be the skipper, and we actually got through unbeaten in the college matches, which was quite remarkable, really, because rugby in Wellington colleges in those days was really, really strong. We were the first team to ever beat Silverstream College out at Silverstream. And so we went through unbeaten. We had a draw, I think, with Hutt Valley High School. That was as close as anybody got. So at the end of 68, I left and I went to Pōneke. I was lucky enough to go straight into the senior team. We had some fairly useful players, although, to be fair, in the first couple of years, we weren't a very good team because we actually played in the promotion relegation series. But I did sort of rub shoulders with a lot of very good players. And in those days in club rugby, you were actually playing against All Blacks. So I was playing against guys like Graham Williams, who was an absolute legend in Wellington rugby. I played against Ken Gray, who was, Colin Meads always reckoned, was the best All Black of all time, in his view. So we used to play against some very, very good players. We didn't actually have any All Blacks in the Pōneke team, although we did have a bloke who should have been an All Black called Wayne Nichols, who played in a late trial, should have gone to South Africa in 1970, but missed out. So it was very enjoyable, but sooner or later, I mean, I did 4 years, sooner or later it was always going to be a toss-up between the job and the rugby, And eventually I had to, at 22 years of age, decide that the job took precedence.
So radio became your permanent career, I guess. So that was working during the week as in radio as well as the weekend. So tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you always worked in the weekend. So sometimes on Sundays, so you'd have a couple of days off during the week. But we had a fairly strong team down at Broadcasting House in those days. We had quite a few sports news bulletins that we had to prepare and read on national radio, on the local 2ZB. During the summer, we had what we called Sports Roundup, which all the venues around the country. Cricket, of course, was the mainstay, but, you know, big tennis tournaments and rowing and athletics and all the rest of it. So it was a busy old time back in those days in sports broadcasting.
In terms of actual commentating rugby games, was that when did you get into that?
Well, it really came about because the guy who was the commentator at Athletic Park, and he was there for quite a long time, was a bloke called Brian Russ. And Brian was the guy that went to Athletic Park every Saturday, and he commentated the main game at the park. He actually went on an All Black tour in 1974 to Australia, and he was away for about a month. And I was sort of next cab off the rank, if you like, and I got to pop up there and do some commentary. So I didn't have a lot of practice beforehand. I sort of got thrown into it a wee bit, but it was a pretty enjoyable thing. And Athletic Park in those days was, the commentary box was quite exposed. You were sitting in the main stand. You weren't in a box as such. And, of course, all the people around you could hear what you were talking about. And the other thing, too, was that you were also in charge of the public address system, which made it a bit embarrassing, really, because you were there to tell who the replacements were and all the rest of it. So it was a fairly multitasking job.
Wow, that's incredible. PA announcer as well as rugby commentator. Yeah, look, that was in the main stand, wasn't it? So you weren't commentating from the Millard stand?
No, it was in the main stand, and you were quite low to the ground, and you know, I quite often found myself actually commentating Ponicky games, and I tried very hard not to be biased.
Of course. Okay, and in terms of, obviously, this is we're celebrating rugby commentary around the Whanganui Tata Wellington. Were there any other venues around Wellington that you commentated from?
No, not as such, not commentary, but I've done reports from all sorts of different grounds. I've done reports from the Petone Rec, the Hutt Rec, but no actual commentary that I can remember. But in the days of Scoreboard, which used to be a Saturday afternoon program on 2ZB, we'd send rugby reporters to the other grounds. Of course, we had a man at Athletic Park doing the commentary, but we had other individuals at other grounds. So I've done reports from really most of the main venues. I've plenty from Kilburnie Park, that's for sure. Probably some from Nenville Park, where Onslow used to be based. Yeah, pretty much all over the city, really.
Okay. And in terms of those days, were you commentating by yourself, or did you have an expert commentator with you, or wasn't that a thing in those days?
No, it wasn't. No, you were on your own, really. I don't think there was room for two people, quite frankly, in the broadcasting box of Athletic Park. So, no, there was no comments guy, so it was you. And it's quite a long time, a commentary for 80 minutes. Nobody else to refer to, really, and you just had to keep going.
Okay, and so So you pretty much started, and did Brian Rush come back, or did you sort of continue on from that?
Yeah, look, he did. He came back, and it was fairly short term, to be perfectly honest. It was enjoyable. And when I went to Auckland, I spent a few years in Auckland too. I used to do quite a few reports from Eden Park. They had a main venue there in the number two ground. I don't think I ever did any commentary from Eden Park because the man up there was Bob Irvine, who was the established commentator for the All Blacks back in those days. But we always had reporters as well. So I used to do some reporting from Eden Park as well.
Okay, and I guess the question, the why question, why did you choose radio and radio commentary over continuing with rugby?
Well, I believe it or not, for a young fellow, I started to look ahead a bit and thought, and remember in those days, totally amateur, so there was no real pathway in terms of a vocation. So I looked at it and I thought, well, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? I certainly won't be able to play rugby for the rest of my life. I'll get to about maybe 30 and then physically it'll be too difficult. So I looked a bit further ahead and I thought, well, there is a pathway here in radio for me, in the media, if you like. So I had to make a fairly bold decision when I'm 22, and not too many 22-year-olds are prepared to make bold decisions. But I think I did the right thing, really. I had to flag the sport away, and follow my my preferred vocation.
I know you had an extensive career commentating cricket as well in the television days. But did you do any other sports in radio in terms of live commentary?
Yeah, did quite a lot of cricket actually. I was very lucky because. I got into cricket quite early down at the Basin Reserve. A couple of guys who were well established there, a guy called Noel Lawson, Trevor Rigby, and also Glenn Tucker. And these were guys who were the commentators. And eventually, as they retired and one or two things, some vacancies came up. So I was able to do some Plunkett Shield cricket. And then when I went to Auckland, I joined Alan Richards, who was a legendary radio cricket commentator, and Ian Galloway, equally, he was from Dunedin, Ian, and I managed to get myself into the team, and we toured around and did quite a few memorable test matches. So, yes, I did quite a bit of radio commentary on cricket.
I could ask, what's harder, cricket commentary or rugby commentary?
Well, rugby's a lot shorter, obviously. It's 80 minutes, whereas a day at the cricket, you're there for a long, long time. And particularly if it's a test match, it was spread over 5 days and 6 hours per day. But we did have commies guys in those days, which made it a lot easier because, you need to fill in time between overs, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd say probably rugby. Back in those days, with no comments guy, it was quite difficult. But when we talk cricket, it was somewhat easier because you had the comments guys there to fill in, and of course you only did maybe a half hour stint, and then you moved on to the next commentator.
And you got any particularly memorable rugby radio commentaries back then that stand out?
Well, it was only club rugby, really. I don't think I did any provincial games. I certainly didn't do any All Black games. So, look, it's a bit hard to remember all that time ago who were the dominant club teams around Wellington. I'd imagine Marist was dominant. Petone's always been a dominant club, that is for sure. So nothing really memorable when it came to individual club games.
Okay. Oh, well, then it's something else that I've always wondered about. That did you commentate the 2006 Super Rugby final down in Christchurch, the Fog final?
Yeah, I did. I did, yeah.
That was virtually a radio commentary, wasn't it?
Well, it had to be, yeah, absolutely. It was quite bizarre, really, on reflection. And it did have to become a radio commentary. And we, Murray Mexted and myself, were upstairs and we could see very little, probably saw more on the monitor than we could actually with the naked eye. But Tony Johnson, who was our sideline man, we actually sent him round to the other side of the field to give some indication as to what was happening through the fog on the other side of the field. So, look, it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever been involved in. There was only one try in the game, and I think we nailed that. But other than that, it was just a bizarre night, really.
Fantastic. So I just to wind this one up. So any particular reflections on radio way back when you started in the late 60s through to the 70s that you'd like to talk about?
No, look, it was just an enjoyable period of time, and I've always enjoyed radio because what you're trying to do when you're doing a radio commentary, of course, is paint a picture for people. People who watch television rugby can pretty much see everything that the commentator can see, and so the job of the commentator in television is to try and enhance the pictures, if you like, whereas in radio it's all about describing. And I always think there are some basic things about radio, and if I'm sitting in my car and I'm listening to a radio commentary of a game, I need to know a few things. I need to know in my mind's eye which team is playing left to right. I need to know the current score, and I need to know the time gone. They are the three absolute basics that I must know. So I always had that in the back of my mind when I was doing commentary, and it was actually written down for me by Brian Russ before he went away to Australia. He just made a few points on a piece of paper, which I've probably got somewhere in my bottom drawer even now, about what's required of a radio commentator, and he was absolutely dead right.
So did that sort of philosophy help or hinder you when you moved into television?
Look, it very much helped, actually, but you have to make the transition and you have to be aware of the difference between radio and television. And as I pointed out, in radio, you're very much painting a picture for the listener, whereas in television, you're really only enhancing the pictures for the viewer. They are two totally different things.
And just finally, Nisbo, look, how important is community rugby and radio in terms of broadcasting today?
I think it's vitally important, actually, given the fact that newspapers very rarely touch club rugby these days. I think it's up to radio to keep that tradition going. There's been a lot of words spoken and written about the decline in club rugby, and certainly the crowds don't take up where they used to, but it's very tribal. I really enjoy it, and I think radio will continue to play a big part.
Ka pai, Nisbo, appreciate that. Thanks for joining us on the E Tū Whānau Footy Show, celebrating 100 years of rugby radio broadcasting in Te Whanganui, Tāra, Wellington.